In the name of Jesus, amen. The kingdom of God is at work. The kingdom of God, it always has been, it is, and it always will be. It is an eternal kingdom. It is indestructible. And the thing that makes the kingdom of God so different from earthly kingdoms, the kingdom of God is about saving people. The kingdom of God is about salvation and bringing life to people. So it's not about God being angry or out to get people. People oftentimes think that. No, the kingdom of God is about saving. We learn more about that from today's parable of the weeds. The kingdom of men, and we know all about the kingdoms of men. Kingdoms of men, it's about power and about money, and it's about being in control, and that involves kings and presidents and rulers and people who live in guarded palaces and compounds and all of that. We hear about such people, and we might see images of them on the television, but most of us will never in our lifetime meet a national leader in person, much less have a conversation with them. They socialize in different circles. They live lifestyles very different from ours. Governor of Illinois is an example of that. When he was elected, Governor Pritzker, when he was elected, he set a record as being the wealthiest person ever to be elected to the office of governor in United States history. He has an estimated wealth of like $3.9 billion. Very wealthy man. Now he puts on his shoes the same way you do, one foot at a time, unless maybe he has somebody put them on for him, I don't know. But beyond that, you know, his lifestyle, our lifestyle is going to be very, very different. We are to pray for those people who are in government over us. Now whether you voted for them or not, whether you agree with their politics or not, God commands us to pray for them because God's kingdom is above them. We are a part of a kingdom that transcends all earthly kingdoms. Earthly kingdoms, they come and they go. An example. Do you know who the governor of Illinois was 50 years ago, 1976? Anybody know? Anybody? Dan Walker. I had to look it up. I had no idea. Dan Walker. 1976, he was the governor. He would have been a very powerful and influential person. Now today, we don't even remember his name. 100 years from now, will people be talking about Governor Pritzker? Probably not. But they'll still be talking about Jesus because his kingdom is eternal and forever. And that's a wonderful, comforting truth for us. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells us some parables about what the kingdom of God is like. It's way different from the kingdoms of men. Last week we heard about the parable of the sower and the seed, and today we hear about the parable of the weeds. In this parable, a farmer sows good seed in his field, and we're told what that is, because the Bible interprets the parable for us. In fact, Jesus tells us what this all means. He says, the person sowing the good seed is the Son of Man. In other words, it's Jesus. And the good seed are those who follow Jesus, the sons of the kingdom. But the enemy, the devil, sows weeds among the good seed, and the weeds represent the sons of the evil one. And right there you have an answer for why is there evil in this world. An enemy has done this. So don't blame God for the evil in the world. It's simply the work of the devil. Now this doesn't come through very clearly in the English wording, but the weed in the parable has a very specific name, and it's a weed that looks a lot like wheat. In fact, when they're young, you can't tell them apart. They look identical. It's not until they grow up and they start to get heads of grain that you can tell, oh, that's the weed and that's the wheat, because they're actually two different colors. And so when the servants see the weeds are starting to come up, they're like, do you want us to go pull those weeds up? And the farmer says no, because he's worried that they might root up some of the wheat along with them. Remember, the kingdom of God is about saving. It's about salvation. He says, let them grow together until the time for harvest, and then the weeds will be gathered and burned, but the fruitful wheat will be gathered for the harvest. So there will be a day of reckoning. That will come. But in the parable, the owner says, wait. We would like it if God would just, you know, swoop in and, you know, just get rid of evil right now. Just, God, just take care of it right now and have it all done with. God doesn't do that. God is not anxious about evil. We are, but God is not, he's not anxious about it. He knows who has the power. He does. He has that power. Power belongs to him, so it's not a matter of, you know, good battling evil, like they're two equal powers trying to duke it out like it's some sports contest that sees who's going to win it. God is victorious. Jesus stands victor over the devil. The devil's a defeated enemy. But it doesn't look that way. When we look with our eyes, it looks like, oh, evil looks really powerful. In fact, sometimes it looks like evil is winning and good is not winning. And that troubles us. And God calls us to believe not with our eyes, but he calls us to believe with our ears. The kingdom of God does not look powerful. It doesn't. Earthly kingdoms look powerful. I'm imagining Governor Pritzker rides around in a limousine with his security detail. I haven't seen that, but that's what I imagine. And that's the way powerful people roll. You know, they kind of get to do what they want, and there's other people around them to keep them safe and protect them, and it looks very powerful, and it is. Meanwhile, God's word, you know, it's taught, it's preached. Sometimes people listen to it, sometimes they don't. It doesn't look very powerful. In fact, Jesus says it's like a mustard seed, a tiny, insignificant seed, but when it grows, it gets very, very large. Or it's like yeast. A little bit of yeast goes a long way. Those of you who like to bake things, don't bake when it's hot out, but when you like to bake with a yeast, you just need a little bit and it does incredible things. And so the Word of God, it doesn't look powerful, but through the small and what appears to be insignificant, God is at work. When Jesus came into our world, no one really noticed. If the angels had not told the shepherds on Christmas night, you know, they wouldn't have known. Nobody in Bethlehem knew that a Savior was born. Nobody in Jerusalem knew. It was like Jesus made the perfect high dive. He comes into the world and doesn't even make a splash. No one really even noticed it until God made it known to them. Powerful and influential people, you know, they want a lot of attention. And Jesus doesn't do that. In fact, Jesus does a very, very lowly thing. He dies on a cross. Powerful, influential people, they're going to try to avoid death at any cost and will often try to pay whatever cost. Jesus comes to go to the cross, and he does what we dread doing. He dies for us. You can't get any weaker than being dead. And so you could say that Jesus outweakens weakness. That's the kind of kingdom that he brings. Yes, the day will come when evildoers will be punished. And Jesus tells us that. He says, just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So that day of reckoning is coming. That that gnashing of teeth things, that's not, they're not gnashing their teeth in agony. People in hell will be gnashing their teeth in anger. They're mad at God. Like, God, why did you send me here? Well, God didn't send them there. They sent themselves there. And they're angry at God for what they did to themselves. But the righteous, those who believe in the gifts of God, will shine like the sun. And that would be you. Now, what makes you righteous? It's not your good behavior. It's the blood of Christ. It's being baptized into His name. It's being fed by His body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, that you are righteous. And the day will come when we will know who all those people are. Right now, it's kind of hidden from us. Right now, yes, there are weeds among the wheat. But the day will come when all that is revealed. And there is groaning in the meanwhile. We kind of wait for that. Oh, you know, come Lord Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us all creation groans, waiting for that day when the sons of God will be revealed. And if you listen closely, you can hear the groaning. Because all creation suffers because of the sin that we have brought into this world. But the day is coming when all creation will be liberated from that. But until that day comes, we wait. And we wait for it with patience, knowing that we are part of a kingdom much different than the kingdom of men. We are part of the kingdom of God because God has made it so. Praise be to His holy name. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.